That's just praise the Lord. The Bible said at every opportunity, let us praise the Lord. I tell you what, entering his house with what? Thanksgiving and praise. Sing unto him. Praise him. The old song says, praise him, praise him. Ever in joyful songs. I don't remember exactly how that goes, but I'll tell you one thing. We need to do more praise than him. God bless you, Sister Molly. If we don't, what the Bible said the rocks will do, what will they do? They'll immediately cry out and praise him, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I done shared this already in Sunday school, but I feel like sharing it one more time. I got a phone call yesterday morning from my pastor. Y'all have heard me mention this man's name many times. I worked in a factory, a printing company called R. Donald & Sons for 32 years. And the man whom I worked with, side by side, Wendell Shaw, was the very man that I went in that foreman's office that day inquiring about how to be saved. I didn't know how to be saved. I knew I was lost. I'd heard the preaching. The Word of God had convinced me that I was lost on my way to hell without God, without hope, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. But I'll tell you what, I had enough confidence in that man to go search him out, and I did find him frantically hunting for him. I found him in the foreman's office. He's in there talking to the foreman, and they wasn't talking about the Bible nor the great truths of the Word of God. They were just talking about printing and problems about printing. But I went in there that day, and I told those men, I said, look, I don't care what you're talking about. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. And I don't know how to be saved, and I need to get saved. And that foreman quoted about 5 verses to me from the Word of God. But the Bible said, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. Their foolishness unto him. But I'll tell you what Wendell Shaw did. Wendell Shaw done something for me I'll never forget. He said, Ellie, I want us to leave right now. We walked out of that foreman's office. And in that hall right there between the foreman's office and the men's restroom, with men brushing our shoulders on each side, Wendell Shaw said, Eddie Wade, Jesus loves you. He said, Eddie Wade, Jesus wants to save you. He's just waiting for you to ask him. And he gave me this illustration. He said, Eddie, if your little boy done something wrong, and he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? And I said, Wendell, I'd forgive him. He said, it's the same way with God, Eddie. And there was faith swelled up in my heart. And I mean, buddy, it was a deep-rooted faith, and I knew right then that God would forgive me. I knew right then that God would save me. I couldn't wait to find a place of repentance, and when I found one and called upon Him that's rich in mercy, I got gloriously and wondrously saved. I'm telling you, I've been blazing a trail ever since April 27th, 1988. But that very man finished his walk down here. He went to bed Friday night, which was yesterday night. Well, I guess this is Sunday morning. I guess that was Friday night, 2 nights ago, when he woke up Saturday morning in heaven, amen. And he'll be missed by all, especially of me. And I'll get to see him again in a better place, a better day, a better body. Hallelujah. For the hour which we are at right now, it's good to have Brother Keith Sullivan with us here this morning. And we want to ask him if he would to come up here and share with us what the Lord's laid on his heart. And I'll tell you what, we just don't never know. Those songs says, maybe it's you, maybe it's me. Someone will be called out to eternity. Just don't know. I didn't know Wendell was going to leave out on me. I was aiming to bring him up here and introduce him to y'all. But I never did get the opportunity, but in heaven I will. Come on up here, Brother Keith. You want to sing, Glenn? All right. Has anybody got a song in your heart that you feel need to sing right now? We'll give you an opportunity. If not, we're going to get Brother Keith to preach the Word of God to us. Come on, Brother Keith. Good to have Sister Glenda with us. I prayed for her yesterday, and here she is. Ain't that something? Of course, I pray for her every day. Call her name out to God, but here it is. And she's here. Just clip that on you there, brother, somewhere. Throw that in your pocket or something. What we do, we put this on the internet. People in third world countries listen in. And we're able to carry the Word of God further than these four walls. Just clip it on there like a tie pin. Yeah, here we go. Get your word up there. Just put that in your pocket or somewhere. Put it in your coat pocket or something. And bless you, Lord.
we've got more than enough people here to have a good service this morning.
Amen.
And I believe the Bible said where two or three were gathered together in His name, that He would be there in the midst.
What?
You know, in my Christian life, good gospel singing has a big part in it.
Amen.
I could take you to my home in Louisville today and start playing CDs and LPs and all of that, and I probably could have you listen to songs for the next 2 weeks, and you wouldn't listen to the same recording or the same song. And I believe that that's part of what we think of as a joyful noise to the Lord. I was just thinking this morning, as I come this way, I come through some of the foggiest weather I believe I've ever saw over in Greene County. The whole county was covered with it. And the Lord brought me, and I'm glad to be here this morning.
Bless you, Lord.
One morning last week, I'm retired, and if the Lord lets me live till Thanksgiving Day, I'll be 77 years old. And when you live by yourself, you do things according to the way you want to do them, when you want to do them. And last week, I was listening to the Gaither people from up at Alexandria, Indiana. I guess they probably had 15 different quartets or singing groups together, sung with them old church songs. And children, it feeds my soul.
Amen.
You know, this natural body of mine has to have food. And you know, this spiritual body, it has to have food too. And I am blessed beyond measure. The Lord blessed me with a wonderful companion for 54 plus years.
Amen.
She was my life. And you know, when she died, part of me died too, I guess. And sometimes I drive over to Rest Haven and just stand and look at her name on her tombstone. And you know, children, there'll be hundreds of thoughts and ideas of what we've done together will roll over me there. Not another soul probably within 1,000 feet of me. But I can have that presence with her.
Amen.
One of these days, a few days ago, I have arthritis pretty bad in my hip and legs and back. And I wanted to go visit her tombstone, her grave. I stood there with my back a-hurting till I just couldn't hardly stand it. My car was about 150 feet from where I was. And, you know, I thought when the pain got great enough, I better get back to the car. I might not be able to walk. I started back, and I met two old men. And one of them I had witnessed to him two or three different times. And the other one, I had never met him before. I'd say both of them was approximately 80 years old. And one old fellow that I had talked to before, he said, if you can, he said, I'd like for you to answer a question or two for me. I said, all right. He said, I'm a Christian. I'm ready to go. But I want you to explain to me what happens to me when I die. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. I was holding both hands to a big tombstone there. And I said, Lord, help me here for a few seconds. And you know, the Lord come down about as strong as I'd had him for some time. And I started preaching to them two old men there. And you know what, honey? I don't know as I've ever had the Lord to bless me much more. I quoted a whole lot of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to him, along with several others. I looked up, and both of them old men was a bawling and crying.
Amen.
And I don't know, I done what the Lord wanted me to do. And you know, I started walking in my car, and you know, all of a sudden I didn't have a single pain one in my back. I mean, they was gone.
Praise the Lord.
I'm serving a living God this morning. I don't know whether you are or not. When I get down to pray, I know the Lord's hearing me. Because He lifts me up. He strengthens me. And you know, that's what this thing is indeed all about. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you're under the sound of my voice this morning and you're unsaved and you've never been saved and you're not a Christian and you're resisting it, I feel sorry for you.
Amen.
It's just like somebody in a burning building out here on fire and are rejecting help to get out of there. You know, you might be expecting this sort of a thing to happen or that to happen to you when the Lord speaks to you. I'm here to say this to you. I've preached a few times over the past 46 years, I guess. Brother Wade, on the thought of the power of choice.
Amen.
You know, me and you had the power of choice before us this morning. You didn't have to come to church, but you chose to come. And you know, that's just about the way it is with the things of God.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you this morning. I called Brother Melvin, and I respect this man that pastors this church to the highest level. Lord help him. There's nothing else you do in the coming week, every day ask the Lord to help this man, your pastor here. Ask the Lord to give this man what needs to be preached here in this church. You know, he don't know your old heart. He don't know the truth about you. You might have everybody fooled on this or thing or that. But you see, the Lord knows you this morning. And the Lord might give him a message that just one of you need to hear next Sunday. But you know, that is the wonderful thing about it. I went to church to preach many of a time. And have the Lord to change my message after I got there.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you this morning. He said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the life of water of freely.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you today. When Brother Melvin, I was on my way to Tennessee yesterday about noontime. And we was going through Bowling Green. And my son-in-law was driving my car. And my daughter and him was in the front seat and I was in the back. And, you know, the thought come to me on one thing to preach on. And then this morning, the Lord added another one to it.
Amen.
And I want you this morning, if it be possible, to lay aside every single thing that you plan on doing this afternoon or tomorrow and center your thoughts upon this hour of service here this morning. You know, when Paul gave the charge to the young preacher Timothy, one of the things he said in 2 Timothy 4th chapter was, to the young preacher now, he said, preach the word.
Amen.
The word. That's this I've got in front of me right here. Those are the words that the Lord sent down to some of His servants in the Old Testament. They didn't write everything down at that point, but the Lord's got the power to help people to remember these things. He said, it's expedient that I go away. For he said, if I go not away, the Comforter won't come.
Right.
But he said, if I go away, I will send the Comforter, and he will bring all things to your remembrance. Honey, I might forget your name. I might forget where you live at. But I'll never forget this word.
Amen.
It stays with me. So it is with you when you read your Bible. If somebody gets up here and reads something that's not the Bible, just like a streak of fire, it'll hit you. That's not right. But when somebody reads the Bible, you know it's the Bible. And you know it's the truth.
Amen.
I want to read to you this morning, if you'll pray for just a little while. I promise you I'll try not to worry you. But take note of what I tell you to read here this morning. And sometime this week, or to this evening, or whenever it is, make a point to read this. Just one verse is all I'm going to talk to you about this morning, and then move over to another place in the New Testament. This is to be found in the Second Chronicles of the Old Bible, chapter number 7. And Brother Eddie Dunn knows what it is. If my people, now he's talking about people that call themselves a Christian. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land.
Amen.
Now, first of all, take note of this. Everything he said in this verse of this year, each segment of that, carries a thing for you to do. There's a lot of prayers that the Lord don't pay no attention to. There's a lot of prayers that don't get no higher than the ceiling here. But when the prayer comes from a heart that is right with the Lord, one that's been born of His Spirit, one that's washed in His blood, and is walking with Him every day, He takes note of that. I've heard people foolishly say that the Lord doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. How in the world would they get saved if they didn't? I'm here to say this to you this morning. God knows me personally. The Lord knows you personally. He knows everything there is to know about you this morning. Don't forget that. The Lord knows everything that you need. And then another point, you remember this. The Lord knows your strength. And He also knows your weakness. The Lord knows everything there is to know about you. You couldn't hide something from Him if you wanted to. And you know, I remember when I was under conviction, trying to get saved. I didn't know the Lord kept as good a record of me as He had. Well, He began to show me things in my life that it had been 30 or 40 years since it crossed my mind. I'm here to say this one thing to you this very, very day. An old blind fellow said to me one time that at Friendship when I was pastoring that church there in Shively. He says, I can do things that you can't do. I said, I'm sure you can. He said, I can talk to my Lord in prayer at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's as dark as pitch outside. He said, I can talk to the Lord any hour of the day or the night. It doesn't make any difference. I'll tell you what I've thought about. That old fella made his living of selling Fuller brushes and brooms from door to door. Once you buy a C&I dog, the first one you buy, that's the last one you'll ever have to pay for. When that dog dies of old age or sick or whatever it is, that company up in Baltimore, Maryland will send you another dog. And they take care of them dogs, pay all expenses like vet things like that. And he told me, he said, some way, somehow or another, He said, that dog knows when for me to get off of that city bus that we're at. He said, when it comes time for that dog to eat at 12 o'clock in the day, he said, he lays down and you can't move him until you feed him and give him something to drink. But he said, that dog is a gift from the Lord. And he said that whenever it was time for me to get off of that bus, he said that dog would get up and start pulling on the chain to get off. And he said, I trust him with every single thing.
Amen.
You know what? They ain't enough devils in hell or out of hell or nowhere else to keep you from living a Christian life if you want to live it.
Amen.
But the Lord will let you sit there in that seat till you fall over dead if you reject him. It's up to you. You know, I've thought about many times. An old man said to me one time these words, children. He said he was old when he made a change. And they had a song a number of years ago called Wasted Years. Oh, Lord, he said, how true that song was. I'm here to say this one thing to you this very day. I wore out several new cars over the years. Indiana, Ohio, all over here in Kentucky and places. I preached in places they didn't like the way I preached. And I couldn't have got back in there with a court order. You know, there's a lot of people who don't like the truth. You know, the Bible says that the devil is a liar and the father of it. And you know what, sinner? That devil will lie to you till you close your eyes in death. That one that's telling you not to come to an altar or not to seek the Lord, that's the devil himself talking to you. But the Lord is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I'll give you rest. Oh, if the Lord lets me live till this afternoon. I thought about a crippled man over here close to Brother Arnold's. I guess I've thought about that man 10,000 times in the last few months. They told me, said, he won't talk to you. He just don't want to talk about the Lord or anything like that. I talked to that man just a few moments. I looked over, sitting in that pitiful wheelchair. Tears was pouring out of that man's eyes.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you. I'm hoping the Lord will give me something to say that will touch that man. I'm here to say this to you. I go back to that verse so often. Whosoever will, let him come to me. And I will give him what he's looking for. I want to look at this verse of scripture and then we're going to move across maybe to a little more this morning. You know, a lot of people think that prayer service is a waste of time. It's the most important service you can attend. I'm here to say this to you this very, very day. After I got saved on a Sunday, up there in 1965. You know, Brother Wade, I have two birthdays a year. A lot of people hate to have one, but I have two every year. That's the one where I got saved.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of you sitting here this morning know what day of the week it was when you got saved. I wonder if you know what month it was and what day it was. April the 25th, 1965. Night before that, the Lord said to me, said, if you will go straighten out three people, three things with three people, I'll talk to you. Lord, have mercy. What a night it was. You could have shut the car lights off on that car and stayed in the road. They were that much lightning. But to me, honey, it was one of the most peaceful times I'd ever seen. I want to tell you something. My father-in-law said that he heard his uncle say so many, many times, said he would walk maybe after working hard in the field all day long. Said I've seen him walk 2 or 3 miles to prayer service on Wednesday night.
Amen.
Said he would testify and he would say, Lord, when you get ready for me that day, he said, let it be a pretty day. He said, I was there when Uncle Billy passed away. He said, I don't believe there was a cloud in 300 miles. You talk about peace in the valley. I've seen 2 people in my lifetime that was a smile on their face in death. Have you ever? I seen an old lady, Sister Margaret, shot all over, carried in Parrot Funeral Home at her husband's funeral. Did you ever go to the funeral where they shouted?
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. That old woman says, we've been married, me and Lex been married for 65 years. Oh, she said, I've seen him every night get down by her bed. Said he would talk to the Lord how wonderful the Lord had been to him.
Yeah.
Said he'd talk to the Lord about his heavenly home. Have you got a heavenly home awaiting for you this morning? If you don't, you ought to be thinking about it. Let me tell you something. Death's coming to your heart's door one of these days. One of these days, you might not see it with your eyes. You may be to where you can't see it. But things are going to get dim. You know, I heard a preacher one time up in Cincinnati. He said he was going to a divinity school, studying to be a preacher. He said, me and my wife would sit up on Saturday night, and he said, my wife would help me look through the Bible. Oh, he said, I was going to preach on repentance. He said, we'd put in 2 or 3 hours of looking in the Bible for the thought of repentance. I'd have it all together. And he said, you know, every time this old woman would raise up in the corner and she'd start talking about how good the Lord had been to her. How the Lord had helped her to feed and raise 6 children after the death of her husband. Said she told him, she said, you know, I've washed dirty dishes for hours at a time in a restaurant to make a few pennies an hour to feed my children. But she said, the Lord was with me every step of the way. And she said that the old woman would testify, Lord, when it's time for me to leave here, let me feel your presence.
Amen.
He said one Saturday, about hottest day, him and his wife were sitting in an apartment there in Cincinnati. The word come to him on the phone that a woman was at Christ's Hospital. And it wasn't going to be very long till she'd be going. You know, he said he drove as fast as he could. He said, Lord, please don't take her till I can get there.
Amen.
He said, all the way, said he could still hear the words of that old woman testifying. He said she had about 6 or 7 children, I forgot the number. But when I walked into the room, she said that all of her family was around the bed. Said there was a nurse and there was her doctor with the stethoscope and everything. He said about 5 minutes before death come, he said you could tell that she was losing out. She has a skipping beats of heart. She couldn't breathe good. He said, you know, he said, when they got down there about 2 or 3 minutes left, said the doctor said, children, all of you go out into the waiting room and remember Mama the way you seen her a living, not a dying. He said, they run them out. He told them, no, I ain't going nowhere. I'm her pastor. I'm staying with her. He said, before that old woman took the last breath, he said, she raised them bony hands above and began to thank the Lord for His grace and His blood.
Yeah.
Thanking Him for raising her children. And all of these things. And he said, that old woman left this world a-shouting.
Yeah.
He said, as soon as she died, he said, I fell over in the corner. And he said, Lord, I want you to save me. And if you'll save me and put your spirit within me, then if you ever really want me to preach, he said, you haven't called me. He said, I've chosen this to make a living. But he said, I'll preach the best I can if you call me. Let me tell you something, children. There's a difference in counterfeit stuff and the real thing. The real thing. When you stay on them knees, he tells you you're forgiven, brother. He'll put something into you the world can't help you with. I'm here to... A preacher told me one time when I was just a young Christian, all the devil had worked me over at work that morning. Man, he had laid it to me. You know, the devil don't have no mercy on nobody.
Right.
And boy, he lined them up right and left all around me that morning. And you know, I went home. Ella may know there's something wrong with me, but she didn't know what to do. She said, go over and talk to Brother Wheeler, an old bald-headed man, preacher, been a preaching all of his life. I got over there and he wanted to know. He said, I want to know what's happened to you this morning. Said, you was on fire last night. Let me tell you something. You ain't no match for the devil, honey.
That's right.
You need the Lord to help you when the time comes. We got down there and prayed and everything was all right in about an hour. Lord, I was on fire again. You know, there ain't but one place you can put them sins in your life, and that's under the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Do you hear me this morning? All of the talk in the world by people won't cover them sins. You couldn't line enough preachers up in here to get you cleared up. But just one touch of the Master's hand, Lord, He can straighten her out. You know, that old man told me, he said, when me and Mamie got married, he said, I got to having problems when I get in church. He said, I just couldn't do no good. And he said, you know, I'd pray as hard as I could. And he said, there was an old hall road over the hill there behind his house where we lived. He said, it'd been so long since road wagons and teams had went up through there. Till he said the wild grapevines had covered the whole thing up. Just an ideal place to get somewhere and pray. And he said, he'd get under them and he said, I'd pour out my heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, he said, I couldn't read a lick hardly. And he said, I could hardly write my name. He'd get his wife Mamie to read for him. And he said that it went on for weeks and months. I believe a man ought to be sure before he says, yes, the Lord's called me to preach.
Amen. Make it sure.
And you know, he said that he finally, Brother Wade, he said one day the revival was going on at Mount Zion, there by close to Magnolia. And said he got down and prayed. And he said, Sister Margaret, he said that he prayed, Lord, if this be real, let somebody mention this to me that's never talked to me about it before, that I've got confidence in. Oh, he said, I prayed all evening and said he thought, Lord, I hope in the next few days or before this revival's over, you'll talk to me. And you know, he said him and Mamie started walking up the road and walked up on the church ground. He said this old woman was in her 90s and went to that old Mount Zion Shepherd Baptist Church since she was a little girl. Had grandchildren there in the church and all of that. She walked over to him and got him by the hand. She said, Wheeler, while I was praying today, the Lord told me that you had to preach. Lord, he said, I nearly went to the ground. Let me tell you something, children. We're serving a God that's real this morning. Do you hear me? We're seeing a feeling of God I can feel deep within me.
Amen.
My God is real this morning. When you get down to pray, if you've got a pure heart in you, the Lord knows it. Well, I know the Lord hears me when I get down here to pray this morning. I might not be shouting, but I know the Lord's hearing me. Them's the kind of people. You know, my mother-in-law used to try to talk to me about getting saved and stuff. Lord, I'd get so nervous. Do you remember how nervous you'd get before you got saved? An old saint of God would start talking to you, and boy, I'm telling you, it'd tear you all to pieces. She'd start talking to me, my mother-in-law would. I'd think, Lord, if I could just get out of here and get away from her, she's ruining my day. I felt pretty good, and I got up, and she's ruining it. And you know, when I got under conviction, Brother Eddie, Lord, them's the kind I was looking for.
Yeah, right.
I wanted somebody that knows the Lord.
Yeah, man.
I bless you. My God is real this morning.
Yes,
he is. I'm here to say this to you today. If you don't know the Lord, He's waiting for you. He is saying, come unto me. Come to me. That conviction power is telling you to move. But that devil's telling you not to move. In other words, they're fighting over you. And you know, I didn't know a thing in the world about the devil till I got saved. You know what I'm talking about? The devil didn't bother me back under before I got saved. But I found out about the devil pretty quick after the Lord forgave me.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, was he ever there when that time come? I'm here to say this to you this morning, children. The Lord's just as real this morning as he was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
I've been preaching 46 years, and it's 4 or 5 times harder to get people to come to church than it was then. This is actually, you all think you're small in number, but in most of churches today, little old-fashioned Baptist churches or whatever they are, this is a pretty good crowd. I'm here to say this to you this very, very day. I went through 2 years of the roughest I've ever faced in my life. Seemed like to me, Sister Margaret, when Ella May died, a part of me died too. But you know what? I can start going through that old Bible. I've wore out 2 or 3 Thompson Chain Reference. Amen. Listen, here is one of them big, big prints. I can see it better. I've got older. But you know, she's the one bought me this Bible, had my name put on it. I'm here to say this one thing to you. Used to be an old man of our association that would sing a song called What Will I Leave Behind?
Yeah.
What would happen this morning if you died? What would you leave behind? What would you leave for your children or grandchildren? I'm here to say this one thing to you. Both of our grandchildren got saved. You know, I don't know since, well, I guess I have too. I've got a great-granddaughter. And we've got another one, Sister Margaret, that's on the way that'll be here in December. Done know that it's a girl. We done got her named. And I pray for her every day, the one that ain't been born. I'm here to say this one thing to you this morning. The reason that a lot of people don't get much blessings in church is they ain't done nothing to be blessed for when you get right down to it. You know, I talk to the Lord of the morning before I even take my medication most of the time. When I get out of that bed of the morning, Lord, I need Him all the time. Eat Him every hour, every day. Because you know what? I may meet the devil head on before the day's over with. You hear me? I'm here to say this to you this morning. Let's look at this right here briefly for just a moment, and I'll try to get to the point and not worry you. He said, if my people, now that's talking about people professes to be a Christian. He said, which are called by my name, see, if you say I'm a Christian, you're saying you're Christ-like, shall humble themselves. I've never got anywhere with the Lord till I come to Him as humble as a little child. I don't know about you. You know, they once asked of our Lord, they said, who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? An old man down here in this county at Mount Pleasant Methodist Church was teaching Sunday school. All he'd done told him, I think these wonderful old preachers and deacons that stood the test of time's going to be blessed first, you know. My daddy said, Uncle Bill, he said, turn over to the 18th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel and tell us what it reads like. You know, they called him, told him, ask him about it. And you know what the Lord said? He said, unless you become as humble as this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Right. See, you didn't get saved until you got humble. You remember? You had to come down there humble. And you know what? I thought about a lot of people. I looked up and Lord, there was people all around that altar there praying. I seen an old man that would wake me up to go to work at Thorpe Morris early in the morning back under in the 50s. He'd rake on that screen window there next door. That old man, Brother Wade, would sit in church for hours, and most of the time he wouldn't say a word to nobody. And you know, I said, I want Brother Ed Kell to come and get beside of me. And the old man shook so much he couldn't stop it, and he was so nervous and all. He come and got beside of me and he said, what is it? I said, Brother Ed, I've got confidence in you. I want you to pray for me. He said, I've done my praying for you. He said, it's time for you to pray. And you know, Brother Melvin would know some of them Kells from back in there around Blair Schoolhouse in that country. He was about as solid as they was and solid as they come. But, you know, when you go to pray, for one thing is, you know, the Bible stressed the point of if you believe. You know, it don't do no good to pray unless you really believe. You know what I'm talking about? You've got to have confidence that the Lord's hearing you that instant of praying. And, you know, He said, "In pray and seek my face." In other words, you're going to have to seek the Lord when you're praying. Get right down to business. And Brother Roger Popwell said one time, unless you get to where you can call that person's name you're praying for, he said, I wonder how sincere it is. Get down to the point of it, you know. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God's not going to save you in your sin, but He'll save you from your sins if you will promise to get out of them. See, you can't live for the Lord and the devil both. You can't straddle the fence. You've got to say, Lord, I'll get on your side of the fence and I'll stay there.
Amen.
See? And too many people today is trying to live part of the world and part of God's part. And he said, and I will hear from heaven. In other words, until you get to that point of doing that very thing right there, God ain't going to hear you. He ain't going to pay no attention to you until he knows that you mean business, you know. Then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. I'm here to say this to you. God will forgive every sin if you really get down to business with him and show him that you mean business, see?
Amen.
And, you know, I want to give you this little story before we move over in the other part. My oldest daughter, Brother Annell, is 54 years old. In January, she'll be 55. And it was 12 years before we had another one. In other words, just like two families. And my oldest one called me the other day and she said, Daddy, I don't know how to say this. I was telling Brother Annell about it, called him on the phone. And she said, Brother Wade, she said, I was moving up in Walmart towards the checkout. And she said, I heard somebody. And she said, I thought it was somebody praying. And she said, when I got up there to where I could see, said it was an old black lady, at least 90 years old, and said they was a gang up and gathered around them up there. And she said, that old woman said, well, she said, when I woke up this morning, and she said, before I set my feet on the floor, she said, the devil hit me. And she said, you know what? Said, I told him just to hold everything right there. And she said, I got out of that, got out of that bed and fell on them old knees of mine. Said she was a poorest little old woman. And she said, I talked to the master. She was talking about the Lord, you know. She said, I talked to the master. And said, the master told me everything was all right. I was clean. I was clear.
Yeah.
Told me he was pleased with me. And she said, you know what? She said, that devil took off.
Yeah.
He didn't stay around. Let me tell you something, brother. This Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Yeah.
Said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. The Lord never takes a vacation. The Lord is always awake. And the Lord is ready to help you. But you know, she said she looked around and said, there was one fella that had a case of beer. And she said he had every good thing to drink to put you into another world, in other words. And she said that old woman started praying and talking and a preacher in there. And she said, that fella pushed his beer over to the side. And she said, I seen him go out the door.
Amen.
And she said, people all over the place was pushing and getting away from her. She said, the next thing she knowed, said the manager of the store was there. And he was checking her out. And had a couple of them women checkers there, and they were helping her gather her stuff up and get it paid for and get her out the door. Let me tell you something, children. The world don't like the truth. The world don't like the Bible. I'll tell you, I heard a preacher say once, if you want to get out of Kroger's, he said, take your Bible to church with you. He said, take it and put it in that where the kid sits in the basket cart seat. He said, you'll have everything inside of helping you to get yourself together, Kroger's. I'm here to say this one thing to you. Some of the best blessings I've ever got is when I would bear witness of my Lord in church.
Amen.
He said that if we was ashamed of him, that he would be to confess him before men, he would be ashamed to confess us before his heavenly Father. Isn't that what he said? I'm here to say this to you this morning, children. I don't care if the world knows that I'm a Christian and I'm living right today. I've seen people supposedly getting forgiveness to somebody for something they'd mouthed off about or something they talked about them about. And you know, they'd try to get them behind the door so nobody else could see it. Lord, I want the world to know it. I don't care if I've done something. I want my church to know that I've repented of it, children. I'm here to say this to you. Jesus was going through a part of the country one time, and you know there was such a crowd there till they just about to run over him. And you know, he got to a certain place, and Lord have mercy. There was a feller, Margaret, under conviction. That man was in trouble, and Jesus knowed it too. Jesus looked up in that tree, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He knowed that feller. Brother Wade, he called him by his name. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide at thy house this day. Now that's what you talk about repenting. Jesus looked at him when he come down. He said, the half of my goods I'll give to the poor. And he said, if I've taken anything from any man by a false accusation, he said, I will restore him for a fold.
Right.
Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, salvation has come to this household this day.
Right.
Oh, I'm here to say this one thing to you, children. A lot of people love the things of this world. You know, I'm going to tell you something. When I read the Courier Journal or Louisville of Morning, sometimes I'm ashamed. Sometimes I hate these things so bad until I just won't read them. I'm here to say this to you. They're having an epidemic now of these old men that's trying to gather these young girls, teenage girls up. On the phone, this old internet. Internet's good, but Lord, it's used for a lot of things for the devil too.
Right.
But you know, my companion passed away on the 20th day of September, just a few days ago, was 2 years. And you know, they fixed her up so pretty. Lord have mercy, I loved that woman more than life itself. If you get to the place of where your wife or your husband is not pretty to you anymore, you better find you a place of prayer.
Yes.
The devil's a hold of you, and you better get him away from you.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you. Archel Heady, I don't know how many funeral homes they own everywhere. They're millionaires, millionaires many times. Good business. What I'm coming down to me. And he said to me, we're glad that you chose us to take care of your wife's arrangements. Talked to him a little bit. I said, you know, how many generations? He said, well, there's been four generations of us. I said, over the years, I said, you've seen a lot of funeral processions, ain't you? Oh, yes, yes. Seen a lot of changes. I said, sure have. I said, tell me something. He said, what's that? I said, have you ever seen a U-Haul in a funeral procession? Man, he backed up. He said, what in the world are you talking about? I said, I'm telling you this. You're a multimillionaire, but one of these days you're going to lay down and die just like all these others, and you ain't going to take one old penny with you.
Right.
Whew. That fellow's chin began to quiver. All of a sudden, he said, I've got things I've got to take care of. And man, he took off. I'm here to say this one thing to you, children. Margaret, honey, I found a tape 2 or 3 days ago. And there are people from Glasgow, and I don't know who they are. But God, I've never heard such good singing. And they're singing a song called, I Want Us to Be Together in Heaven Someday. Lord have mercy, if you can't feel the Lord and people singing, there's something terrible wrong with you. I'm here to say this one thing to you. God's going to call us one of these days. And children, it's going to be at a time when you're not going to be expecting. You know what the Bible uses that this illustration of it? A thief in the night. A thief in the night. The day that I lost my companion, I fed her her last meal. My youngest daughter had fixed her a big plate of fried apples. Oh, she loved them. You know, she had talked to me more that evening than she had for months. We'd went and got 2 flu shots and everything. I took her and I'd cause her to holler for the daughter to use her mind and memory and talking and stuff. She'd went for months without saying one word. And she hollered when I got to the bed. She couldn't even stand alone. I'd put my left hand behind her and reach with my right hand and pull the wheelchair up to get her under it. I'd prayed for months, Lord, let me outlive her a day or two. I wanted her to be took care of. I laid her up in the bed, went to change her. Well, she had wore a diaper, of course. I went to get some wet cloths. When I come back, she had stepped out into eternity. Let me say this to you this morning, sinner. The Lord's coming, and you can depend on that.
Amen.
And it's for whether you make a change or not. It's up to you. The Lord's not going to drag you to this altar and make you repent. It's up to you. And you're going to do it somewhere. Someplace. And you're not going to get away from it. People used to talk about, oh Lord, that person had a stroke or a heart attack and they died. Brother Wade, that's a blessing from the Lord if you're ready for it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're ready for it. My mother-in-law laid down here in the nursing home at Columbia 11 years and 11 months in that same fetal position all that time. Lord have mercy. They asked me to preach her funeral. Why, anybody could have preached her funeral. Lord, she had lived it. To the letter. It was just a matter of the old body of stopping. You know, the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Right. That's what I told them 2 men there in the cemetery. I said, I don't know how it is with you men, but one of these days the Lord's going to speak to you. I told Margaret here a few weeks ago, I told her, I said, that boy of yours, I've got a feeling that he's already there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he's just saying, Mom, come on. Let me tell you something, brother. If you've got the Lord right down here in your heart and soul, that's the best insurance you can buy. They ain't none no better than that.
Amen.
If I never see my home again, I've got a better place of waiting than others.
Amen.
I've got somebody over there waiting for me.
Yeah.
Let me say this to you this very, very morning. The best thing you could do this day was to find a place of prayer. You can find the Lord wherever you come down as humble as a little child. Do you hear me this morning? You might say, preacher, I'll never bow to him. Well, you don't have to. But you can bow lost too if that's what you choose. I'm here to say this to you. If you could be saved by me, you'd already be, but I can't do it for you. Nobody else could do it for me. I'm here to say this one thing to you this day. I read the other day where my companion had led prayer service. Brother Wade, I've got a habit, 1 or 2 of them old Bibles back there. I've got old saints that's testified in church, and I've wrote part of their testimony down and put the date down and where it was. I'm here to say this to you, this very, very day. The greatest preacher your children can ever see is the life you live before them. Do you hear me today? Do you hear me this morning? I'm here to say this to you this very day. I've said to people in church and revivals in time about their parents, about to pray. I've got a tape up there of a black woman singing the song, "If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again."
Amen.
I'm here to say this one thing to you. Heaven's real. It's real. It's just a heartbeat away. You know, the one of them that was crucified with our Lord, you remember the story? He said, "Lord, will thou remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom?" You know what he said to him? "Shalt thou be with me in paradise this day?"
Amen.
This day. One time he said, "I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom."
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. I'll tell you, I was going to talk to you this morning about when Peter got locked up before he could preach in his church, you know.
Yeah.
Now that's them people was praying for him there, Brother Wade, and you know what? Get this. I read it again yesterday as we was coming up the road from down in Tennessee on the way home. Read that story again. Go over it, you know, Brother Wade. You know old Herod put Peter in jail. You know what all he done? He had a prison there to had two gates inside of it. Then it had an iron gate that went to the outside. He had Peter on the floor in that jail cell with chains around his wrist, one on each side of it. And that chain, each end of it, was fastened to a soldier.
Right.
I don't know how many the number would be of them that was guarding him. They meant to make sure that he didn't get away. But you know, that little church was a-praying.
Oh, yeah.
They was a-praying. And you know what was going on? They was a-praying an impossible prayer. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, they didn't have nothing going for them. But they had prayer going for them, and that's what counted.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I don't know of anything that's any more powerful than a saint of God to pray. Do you?
Right.
I don't know of anything. You know, the Lord told that angel, "You get down there and take care of things."
Yeah.
Have you ever met an angel in this world? I think I have. I'm here to say this one thing to you. What is an angel? An angel isn't a thing in the world, but a messenger. Messenger. You know, there was one that visited the woman Elizabeth, visited Mary, Lord have mercy, and all of that. But you know, that angel appeared there in that jail, had a light, fell down there and said he smote Peter in the side. Raise up.
Yeah.
Raise up. And when he did raise up, the chains fell from his hand. The impossible. The impossible. I don't care what you've done in your life that troubles you. There's nothing so great that God can't take care of it.
Amen.
But you know what? The Bible says that he told him, "Just bind on thy sandals. And put thy garment around thee and follow me." They began going to gates, and you know, each one of them would open up when they got to it.
Yeah.
And they said whenever they got to the iron gate, it opened of its own accord.
Amen.
Fell out. Whew. When old Harriet and all of them woke up, they wondered, "Where in the world is Peter at?" Mm-hmm. But you know, the Lord took care of it. I don't care how big a problem you've got in your life. I don't care how much the devil's got on you. You can get it out of the way if you go to the Lord in prayer. Do you hear me? Peter went to where they was holding service at. You know, back in that day and time, they couldn't openly have churches like we do. You know, they had to do them in hiding. And they was in a home there. Peter began to bang on that gate there. And you know what? They heard it. And that damsel went to the door. And she knew it was his voice. And she was so glad she run and told him. Why, they even, their unbelief was so great till they told her she was mad. And she kept it up and they weren't. And Peter come in. Let me tell you something this morning. I don't know why I come this way to preach this particular altar, this message. It might very well be the last opportunity you would ever hear. Me or you, neither one, may not ever enter into a church door again. I don't know. You know, many, many was the nights. I had a little bed, twin bed over in the corner. My wife was on the hospital bed. And you know, I would wonder, if Margaret, many of the time, honey, I have wondered, are you sick? Or are you all right? I woke up at night and I'd wonder, Lord, is her feet cold? I'd get out of that bed, feel of her feet if they're very bit cold. I'd get some clean, dry socks, and I'd reach under that bed and get a hair dryer. I'd hold that hair dryer over her feet, hold it over them socks and put them on her. And you know, she couldn't say a word to me, but she'd smile when they got warm. You know, I got to wondering, people. I'm talking to you about prayer this morning. You might think that's trivial. Let me tell you something. God is willing to help you if you will ask Him. Did you hear me this morning? You know, I had this one little prayer. I'm going to close out, Brother Wade. But you know, I got to praying one Sunday morning. I said, Lord, I don't believe there's anything that you can't do. I believe everything is right at your, for you to do if you so choose. Lord, all I'm asking you to do is to let her be able to say yes and no. She hadn't spoken months. And I prayed that week. I believe, if I mistake not, God forbid, I believe it was the next Saturday she began to say yes and no as plain as me or you either one. I knew. Wasn't very long till she'd carry on with me a conversation again. There is nothing impossible with God. Do you hear me this morning? I don't care what your problem is or what your trouble is. There is nothing that's impossible with Him today. I might not be able to ever come back this way again. You owe me a lot to me. I've got some good blessings here. You know, the Lord has fed my soul many times here in this church. Lord, have mercy, some of the good services we've experienced here. Hold on. Don't give up. Each one of you in the next 2 or 3 weeks, start praying, start thinking about, is there somebody that I could need to talk to and invite them to come to church? You know, that's what gets things to going. You get this one family to going, they come to another one, and the first thing you know, you've got a good congregation of people. That's what it takes. Don't figure on this preacher answering every prayer for you. Sometimes we have to put legs on our own prayers.
Amen.
You know, sometimes people are so fast and quick to use the phone for gossiping. Why not use it for the Lord? Why not use it for Him? I preached at a church one time so much on the church, so this woman said, when are you going to quit preaching to us? I said, when people like you get where you belong at, I won't have to, will I? You know, she didn't say no more. I'm here to say this to you this morning. Use that tongue for the honor and glory of the Lord. I'm here to say this to you. When the Lord blesses something here in your church, get on the phone. Tell them the Lord's saving people. I'm here to say this to you. Sometimes just a phone call from somebody will mean the world. And I admire you all. You're doing well for the number you've got here. But I'm here to say this to you. You've got room here to seek quite a few more. And use that for thy honor and for thy glory. Be much in prayer for me this evening. Me and Brother Andrew's going to go with me. I want to go talk to that crippled man again. You know, I talked to him one time. He told me, he said, I'm born in this shape. I said, well, maybe that would be a way of glorifying the Lord to use that. Let me say this to you this very, very day. It's hard to take things sometimes, but you know, you don't have to look very far to see somebody in worse shape than your land. You know that? You don't have to look very far to see that as well. I looked at my companion back under. She had had a stroke and meningitis and diabetes, Lord, you name it. And I think, Lord, why us? We've tried so hard to work in church and stuff, but, you know, the Lord knows things more than we do. And put it faith, hope, and trust in Him. The reason I come this way today, somebody's lost. And I'm not here for glory for myself. I'm here to try to help you. And I'm going to tell you this. The Lord's not going to save you against your will. If you purpose to reject Him and resent Him and not to heed the calling of the Lord, He'll let you do that. And He'll let you go to your grave if that's what you choose. But I'm here to say this to you this morning. This young lady over here, you all know her. And you know, I didn't know her till just recently. Her daddy and me was first cousins. And we're close related. I know the whole family. And I'm here to say this to you that maybe her church was, her family wasn't a church-going people, but I admire her. And I'm here to say this to you this very day. Take the time to encourage young Christian people. Encourage them. Tell them how much you need them. And we're going to turn the service, if you will, back to Brother Wade here this morning. I love this man. And I think of him quite often, and every time I'm talking to the angels, I ask him how he's doing. And I admire a man that puts forth an effort like he does to come here and to work with this congregation. And Brother Wade, they're fortunate to have you. And Brother Wade, you are fortunate to have them.
Amen.
And the angels are people that I've come to know and to love. My wife thought there was nothing quite like him. And he made us some cabinets one time, and she made it clear to him any color he wanted to, if it was white. And that was about the way that she thought about it. But Brother Wade, come on, and I'm going to turn service back to you. And I thank you for the opportunity to stand in your pulpit. Yes, take that off of me. Lord, I wouldn't know what to do with that thing.
Appreciate Brother Keith. Appreciate him coming. Appreciate him sharing what the Lord put on his heart today. I don't know how the Word of God went to you today. I know how it went to me. It went to me as a son of God. And I'm a son of God because I've been born of God. The Bible talks about being born from above. Maybe today the Word didn't come to you smooth as it did to me. It blessed me, fed me, encouraged me. Caused me to think eternal thoughts. Maybe the Word of God came to you today sharp. Maybe the Word of God came to you today and convicted you of the fact that you know you need to do something, Dave. We're going to give an invitation right now, and this is an opportunity to be a son or daughter of God. God gives us that opportunity. I don't know how many opportunities He's going to get, but God gives us that opportunity. He gave me one. I took advantage of it, got saved April 27th, 1988. He's given you opportunity. The Bible said He waited in the days of Noah. The long-suffering of God waited. And only eight people got saved, but at least eight did. And I don't know how many people's getting saved in the day and hour we're living in. But I'll tell you one thing. They ought to all get saved. They ought to all get on that ark. And thank God provided a place of safety. Noah and his family went in. God shut the door. Well, I'm in Christ. I'm in the family of God. One day God's going to shut the door on a different ark. The ark now is the church. The Bible said the Lord loved the church, gave himself for it, purchased with his own blood. He's the head of the church. He's coming for the church. It's his. I tell you what, you're to get in. Boy, what a royal invitation to come. What you got there, Brother Melvin?
We'll
ask everybody to stand. Ask everybody to stand. We're going to give an invitation on him. Opportunity for you to have the Lord as your Savior. Dirt far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. That verse said, open wide thine arms of love. Let me say this morning, God does have his arms open up and they're wide. He's opened them up to welcome you this morning. You ought to come. We're going to sing a couple more verses here. Never been a better day than today to get saved. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not be here. We think it will, but it may not. I promise you this, you've got right now. You ought to do that. Go ahead, Brother Melvin. Have you many precious years? Think about that statement. I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. More to roam, open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. And strain, Lord, now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love. Sing the last verse, but before Brother Melvin does, you know, you're going to leave something behind. Brother Keith talked about what will you leave behind. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, that Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. Right. And Hebrews chapter number 11 said he had a testimony. He left behind a testimony, and that testimony was this, that he pleased God. Is your life pleasing unto God today? I'll tell you one thing, buddy. Got an opportunity in this one verse right here to do something about it. But you know what? Some preacher's going to have the burden during your funeral. Ain't nothing I like better, Brother Keith, to be able to tell the family some words of comfort. So I'll tell you one thing. I know they love the Lord. They're ready. Mm-hmm. And that day didn't come upon them unaware. But one way or another, I'm going to have to speak to some preacher. And that maybe not be me. Some preacher's going to have to do your funeral. Won't you make it easy? Won't you leave your family something, a thread of hope? Won't you leave something behind today to say, I'll tell you one thing, I believe he's in heaven. I believe I'll see him again. Because I'll tell you what, that day is going to come. On the passenger side of my mirror, it's got words on there. It says, things are closer than they appear. For some reason or other, we think it's far off. We got young people here this morning. You don't always live to be 70. A little four-year-old boy, I believe, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, in a house far up here. Well, she went to heaven because they had no knowledge of sin, the law. The Bible said the where there's no law, sin's not imputed. And he had no knowledge of the Ten Commandments. He was innocent. Never come that day that he knew he was breaking the Ten Commandments and committed sin. Paul said, I've not known sin but by the law. But I tell you what, you don't always leave this world at the ripe old age of 70 and 80. My daughter got killed in a car wreck, lived 17, 1 week. Sometimes you're young, get called out. If you're not ready, won't you do something today? Last verse. Need his cleansing blood, I know. Now I'm coming home. Get somebody by the hand, come on. Smith whiter than the snow. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Come on. Coming home. Evermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming. Appreciate the message this morning. Appreciate the preacher. God said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And preaching is ordained of God. He said every preacher ought to make his call and his election sure. I appreciate Brother Keith this morning. Could have been a lot of places this morning, but he chose to be here, and I appreciate him. Appreciate him coming. Love him in the Lord. Appreciate his prayers. I pray for him. I know he prays for me. Pray for every man of God. Stands for the Word of God. So many are falling by the wayside. I appreciate him. Maybe somebody's got something on your heart this morning. Maybe you got a praise. Give you an opportunity. Thank you for coming. What you got, Sister Sophia?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all hear that?
God bless you, sister. So.
Amen.
Amen. What a noble request. Yes, he is.
And I've known him for a long time.
Amen.
He won't turn me away. He's always speaking
to me.
That's
right. Amen. Preacher quoted Hebrews chapter 13. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. Nor forsake you. That's one thing for you to think about. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. Anybody else got anything on your heart this morning?
Been off a good day for somebody to get saved. Your hair was here so wonderful. I never felt it.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord, for his company.
Bless you, Brother Melvin. If somebody else got something on your heart, I ain't gonna linger, I ain't gonna keep you, but if you got something on your heart, by all means, won't you share that? If not,
the Lord just wanted
my praise to tell the
name.
Amen. Bless you, Sister Mom.
Amen.
Amen.
And there's nothing too small or too big.
Amen.
The world's
going to
come against us, but he'll still take us through.
Amen.
I praise
the
holy name this morning.
Leviticus 17, God said, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. God said in the book of Exodus, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. The Bible said Christ, our Passover lamb, was crucified for us. A lot about that blood. I appreciate Sister Molly. She's always identifying with that blood. And the Bible said that we've been purchased with the precious blood of the lamb. And I tell you what, the world may not regard it, but I do. I'm glad he was willing to shed his blood so I could be saved from my sins. Anybody else came down in your heart this morning? If not, we'll be dismissed.
I want to meet with all
All right, Sister Margaret needs to meet with the women after church. She said, for just a minute, if you could do that. And if we're done, let me ask everybody to stand.
We've got a special singer tonight.
Got some singers coming tonight. We've got a missionary coming tonight, Brother Jolly. Thank you, Brother James, for bringing that to memories. We got some singing tonight. That's something we don't ever have very much of. And wish we had more we knew what to do with, but we got some singers coming tonight. We got a missionary from the Philippines coming tonight. Brother Jolly, you'll enjoy him. I know him. He comes highly recommended by me and the other men of God. I appreciate this man too. Remember, Brother Jolly, try to bring somebody with you. Come back tonight. Tell you what, wish to get saved. I love you. I've prayed for you. I've called your name after God this week. I've called your name out to God. I've prayed for you. Stood in the gap. I've interceded to God on your behalf. And I sure wish you'd get saved. Let's all stand. Brother Madden, if you would please dismiss us for the prayer. Thank you for coming. Brother Keith, you're going to be back there at the door, brother.